He's got a marketing sum that's 150. 150. Never. That would be the song after checks for him this month, the lesson. And after he's turned there, he's turned to number 54 in the supplemental book. For 54. And with this, my dad will put us in the paper.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the time that we can be together here to study your word. We pray that we'll study it diligently and always be able to learn more about you and your will for our lives. We pray especially that we'll have the right attitude toward the things that we find and that we'll be obedient to your will. We're thankful for the gift of your Son who unselfishly died for us. We're thankful for your love for us in sending him. Help us to live lives of appreciation for that great sacrifice. Especially mindful of those that are not able to be with us tonight, those that are ill. We pray that you'll be with them and help them to feel better soon. We also know that there are many that are suffering right now with an increase in COVID cases. We pray that those that have it will return to their health quickly and that their symptoms will be mild and that we can look forward to a time when we're not suffering with this virus any longer. Please be with those of our congregation who are elderly. We're thankful for them and for their faithfulness to you and for their example. We pray that you'll be with them and keep them healthy and help us to be the kind of brethren in assisting them that we in any way that we can. Please be with us as a congregation to show our love for one another and to help one another as we strive to live lives that will bring us to you faithful in eternity. We pray all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Got to do something I don't get to do very often these days, it seems. Got to get out of the branch a little bit today. We had a team-building exercise downtown, just to get together, basically. It was an excuse to get out and the company pay for it, so that worked out pretty well. But I did get to go out and have a little windshield time and listen to the radio that I don't get to do very often during the day. And not too much to it besides that, except that as I was listening to the news today, I'm sure some of you also heard the big announcement that Bobby Bowden has been diagnosed with a terminal condition. And it really caught my ear of the way they repeated it a couple of times. They do not know, or I haven't heard any further detail about what his problem actually is. But it was very clear about three or four times that they announced that Bobby Bowden, the famous football coach, has been diagnosed with a terminal condition. And it was with great alarm. There was, you could hear the surprise, the angst a little bit in the announcer's voice as he said it. And then I looked up how old Bobby Bowden is, and I'm not sure if you know this, but he was born on November 8th, 1929. So I guess it just doesn't surprise me that something may be going on in his life that would be thinking about toward the end at this point. But regardless of what it actually is, the news report stuck with that idea that they were diagnosed with a terminal condition. And I thought to myself, well, everybody is. We've all been diagnosed with a terminal condition. Brethren, if you're not aware of it, you and I both are already diagnosed with a terminal condition. We are not here forever. It's just not going to be that way. I looked at a couple of passages that I've always found interesting to just kind of think through a little bit. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, God is handing out the condemnation to Adam and Eve and to the serpent at that point. And he tells Adam, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And so very shortly after Adam was made, he learned that he was not going to live forever in this body. And this body that had been made out of the dust of the ground was going to return to the dust. He lived 950 years, well beyond Bobby Bowden's years, right? Well beyond anybody here. But even he, with all that extreme age, did return to the dust. And he had a terminal diagnosis from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. It just took 950 or so years to get there. Look with me, if you will, in Job chapter 17. Job 17, and I'll give you just a second. I know that's not a book we turn to all the time. So Job 17, one of the first of the prophetic books in the middle of your Old Testament there. Job 17, and one of the responses that Job is giving, he says, beginning in verse 14, so right near the end of that chapter, Job 17, 14. Job says, "I have said to corruption," and that's the King James word for death and corruption in the grave. So at this, he's anticipating the idea of being in the grave and his body corrupting to go back to the dust that the Lord promised in Genesis. Verse 14, "I have said to corruption, thou art my father, and to the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust." Job understood, certainly in the condition he was in, he felt like he was moving toward death. And he was getting a little cozy in a kind of a different way, getting a little cozy with the idea that he's probably going to die. That's what he feels like. It was certainly true of him whether he was healed of this infirmity that he was enduring right now or not. He would go back to the dust. But he felt like it was even kind of closer, and then described it that way in verse 16. That they shall go down to the pit in the corruption with him when our rest together is in the dust. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 20. The wise man there wrote, "All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again." Really basically confirming and requoting the prophecy in Genesis 3:19 that the Lord gave directly from his lips. And then furthermore, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, the preacher says there, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So at some point, all people, the spirit will separate from the body will return to the dust, and the spirit will return to God that gave it. You see these over and over in these passages, that it's confirmed that we have a terminal diagnosis. Our body is not made to last forever. We are made in the image of God, but it is in our spirit. And it is our spirit that will return to God, but our body will go back to the dust from whence it came. We may feel very removed from the idea of coming from the dust, but that's the hearkening that we have back to our original source in Adam, when God made man from the dust. And then man reproduces through what we always know, babies being born and growing and dying. But then we're reminded with each person that after death, the separation of the body and the spirit, the body returns to dust. So, are you just going to leave us with this negative, terrible, hopeless message? Is that where we're going with this? Well, no, of course not. Purpose of the invitation tonight is to show us where our hope is, why that doesn't have to be the end. But we do need to recognize that we all have this terminal diagnosis, and that shouldn't be surprising. I don't really think that ought to be the news. You know, let's wait until we find out what Mr. Bowden's infirmity is and what he may end up passing from more specifically. That might be an unusual thing to put in the news. But the fact that he is diagnosed with a terminal diagnosis is not news. That's true of every single one of us, and we all could have been in that news story today. Turn with me, if you will, in the final passage of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." So that in that passage we learned that sin is what causes this terminal diagnosis in each of us. It was caused in Adam because that was the judgment that was against him in the flesh, to not be able to eat of the tree of life. And because of that, his body would perish and his soul would then go to God and answer for the life that it led in the body of the flesh. But that body is going to go terminate into dust. And the reason that happens is because of sin. And this passage is actually very clear for those that think about inherited sin of Adam, that there are plenty of people who have sinned not in the same way that Adam did. And again, verse 14, not in the similitude of Adam's transgression, not in the way that Adam did it, but did actually sin, and sinned in some way, and it had the same exact outcome. The law was introduced so that we might know what sin is, but sin was always there. It was always there before God. Anything that was unrighteous, anything that was against him, that was opposite of his word, that was in rebellion to him, was sin. And the law pointed out and showed us what all those things were. And it really highlighted how that we are all found to be under sin. And therefore we are all imputed with death because of that. And except it was for Jesus. Except it was for Jesus Christ coming to the earth. He is the solution for that sin. And he is the cure for our terminal diagnosis. That we will be glad to leave this body behind to go back to the dust, because then we can stand before God in righteousness as a spirit. When that spirit returns to God who gave it, that spirit can be a redeemed spirit and cannot have to be lost and does not have to suffer the fate of the body that returns to dust. So the invitation is short and plain tonight. We've all received the terminal diagnosis. But we have an opportunity to do something about that. We can't stop the body from returning to dust. Well, we can prepare the soul and the spirit to return to God in a saved state through Jesus Christ, that we might be able to stand before him and live forever. And we will forget about the body, and we won't have to endure the temptations of the flesh anymore that would draw us away and keep our spirit away from God and separated from him. And so the question tonight is, do we accept the diagnosis and decide that we want to do something about it? And the opportunity is afforded us tonight as we stand to sing the song of encouragement, hoping that you'll come forward and let us know that you want to respond to the gospel, to repent, or to be baptized. And that time is now.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come together tonight to study a portion of your word and hear a lesson from your word. And we pray that everything that we have done tonight has been pleasing in your sight. We pray for those who are not able to be with us tonight, and specifically the Canes and Mr. Rell, that you be with them and allow them to be back with us at the next point in time. We pray for those who haven't made the decision to commit their lives to Christ and to the Christian way of living, and we pray that you help us to help them and to prick their hearts and to being able to follow you and being able to feel the love that we feel here. And we pray that as we go out in the world that you still protect us, and we pray that we always look to your light. And we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.